to God's word, we are going to do two things, and we do this twice a year.
We will still end on
time.
But if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Psalm 131. It's a very short psalm, but I think during the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, I think it's a psalm that could really help us to prepare our hearts. Psalm 131. A song of ascent of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. This is a psalm of contentment. The title says, A Song of Ascent of David. And so most likely this song was one of the 15 psalms that was sung during their journey up to Jerusalem during their season of festivals. And so they would sing this psalm along with some of the other psalms to prepare their hearts for worship as God's people. And this psalm, as again, along with other 15 other psalms, it allowed them to prepare their hearts, focus on God. And I think as we enter into the Thanksgiving season and eventually the Christmas season, I think this will be helpful for us to begin to meditate on this psalm so that we can cultivate a heart that is thankful. Again, this psalm is a psalm of contentment. Now think about contentment. Think about how rare that is in our culture. We often struggle with feelings of anxiety and discontentment. Some actually have coined the millennials as the anxious generation. If you're a millennial, don't be offended, because my generation, I think, was called the slacker generation. Right? But the point is, whether you're a millennial or not, living in this culture, in this place, Washington, D.C., causes, I think, often our hearts to be discontent. Because we feel the pressure to keep up, right? We can't just sit back and relax or rest, because if we do, we feel like we're going to be left behind. And so there's this pressure from outside of us, but also within us, to keep up with other people, keep up with our society. But the Bible calls us to be content always, all the time. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound." So Paul is saying, no matter what I am facing, and as a matter of fact, Philippians was written when he was in prison. He says, no matter what I'm facing, whether I am well fed or whether I'm in hunger, I've learned how to be content. And if you think about that, that statement is pretty radical, because that's not how we experience contentment at all. We experience contentment when things are going well, when life is going well, our grades are up, relationships are happening, we get a promotion, things are happening in our life, and thus we feel content. But when things are not going well, we rarely feel the sense of contentment. There is actually a sense of anxiety and discontentment, and even perhaps doubt and fear and grumbling. But Paul says, no matter what the situation is, I've learned how to be content. Now, I think this is crucial, important, especially during this season, because it's out of a heart of contentment that we can begin to give thanks to God. Right? It's when we know that, when we recognize and our hearts are content, that we can begin to thank God. Without it, it's awfully hard to give thanks to the Lord. When our hearts are discontent, it's hard to worship, hard to praise, hard to give thanks to God. And so this psalm, a really short psalm, and it won't take that long to go through it, but this psalm, I think, teaches us two things. What contentment looks like, and how we can begin to cultivate a heart of contentment. So what it looks like, and how do we cultivate it? So I'm going to actually start from verse 2, because verse 2, David here gives us a picture of what contentment looks like. Okay, so verse 2, it says,
But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. All right. You know, we just dedicated two infants, beautiful Genevieve and Abel, and, you know, they did well. But, you know, the parents, I guess, David and Patricia and Anne and Daniel, they know that at home, it's another story, right? Especially when they're not well fed. Is that right, guys? Yeah? Okay. When they're not well fed, boy, they begin to squirm, they fret, they cry, they might even scream to a point that they're inconsolable. I mean, until they're fed. The picture that what David is saying is this. He's saying a discontented heart, a human heart, is like an infant that's craving for milk. There's this hunger. Human heart longs to fill itself with something until it's well fed. It can't be satisfied. And that's the picture that David's giving us. And then David says, but he has learned how to calm himself. He says, he's like a child that's a weaned child with its mother. And so what David is saying is a contented heart, contentment is like an infant or a child that's learned how to live without something that it thought was indispensable in life. That's what David is saying. David is saying a heart of contentment comes from recognizing that we actually can live without something that we thought was indispensable for life. That there's a sense of rest and calmness. So that's the picture. Now, how do we, if you kind of think of yourself now, I mean, think about all the things that you're reaching for, you're thinking about, you're dreaming about. And that's human heart. David says, contentment comes when we begin to realize that that's not really what we need. Something else has to take that place. That's what David's saying. And David here in verses 1 and 3 gives us four things, real quickly. Three things that he doesn't do, and then one thing that he calls all of us to do. Okay, so three things that he doesn't do. Verse 1, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. This is simply David's talking about pride. He's saying, my heart is not prideful. Now, how is that connected to contentment? Pride basically says, life is about me. I'm at the center. And so you are preoccupied with life, with yourself. So you are thinking about yourself. You're thinking about how you feel about yourself. You're constantly preoccupied with the self. And David here says, I have, oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. I've learned the ways of humility. That's what David is saying. Right? Because when we are preoccupied with self, we think it might help us to be more content, more happy, more joyful, but that's not the case. More we think about ourselves, we actually become less content. We become less happy, less joyful. We become more anxious, more fearful. So David here is saying, I've learned how to walk in the ways of humility. How do we begin to develop pride? And this is a whole nother sermon, but just one really quick note I wanted to make is, I think that's why serving or service is important. You know, whether you're serving your family, you're serving your parents, kids, your roommates, serving the church, serving community with CASA or Little Lights, all these services are crucial in our spiritual walk. Not only because do we benefit, the church benefit from your service, but actually it's crucial for your development as followers of Christ. So in some sense, we came here today, and there are a few of us who got here early, people who set up the welcome table and people who set up the equipments here. In some ways, you can actually be more impacted by serving others than singing and hearing a sermon. Because it's in our service that we make a dent to our pride. That we're forced not to only think about ourselves, but we're thinking about other people. And that's crucial. I know one of the things that the parents who dedicated their child, and, you know, all the parents who are here, I know one thing that we all want for our kids. We want them to know how to serve. Why? Because we want them to become people who not only think about themselves, but think about other people. Because it's in that path we become more like Christ. So one of the ways that we fight against pride that's so self-focused is we become servants. That's what Jesus said. If you want to be great, learn to be a servant of all. Servants. And so, you know, for instance, my family attend Tyson's, but so we told them, you got to learn to serve the church and serve things. And one of the things that I'm actually kind of surprised that my oldest son, who just turned 16, is doing is he's coming, actually now finally coming to church early to, like, help set up and move some stuff and equipment. And, man, more than anything else, I'm like, wow. And, you know, we didn't force that on him, but he just said, you know, I'm going to sign up for, you know, welcome team. And he actually followed through. And so today he got up early with my wife and went to church and set stuff up. And, man, as a father, that's, like, I don't know. Like, I'm happy. I'm happy about that. Because, again, if we're going to make a dent into this prideful heart, which all of us have, is we need to learn to serve others as one pathway to becoming humble and becoming more like Christ. And David here says, that's one of the ways that I begin to find contentment. Not focusing on myself, but learning to focus on others, learning to serve others. The second thing here says is, my eyes are not raised too high. And I think here, David is talking about pride that's relational. How he sees other people. He's saying, I do not lift up my eyes too high. My eyes are not raised too high. Meaning, I think he's saying, my eyes do not look down on other people. I don't undervalue other people. I don't compare other people to myself. When do we become discontent with our life? At times it's because when we begin to compare our life with other people, we look around and we say, man, why is it that he's blessed so much? Why is she getting ahead or in her career so quickly? And what happens is when we begin to look around and we have these eyes that are raised high and begin to look down on other people and begin to compare, our hearts are discontent. It will shrink as we begin to see other people and what other people have. In Philippians 2, it says, Paul writes, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now, for a long time, I thought this verse was talking about this. I thought this verse was saying to me, okay, I need to consider other people better than me. Like oh, I'm bad and he's good or she's better than me. I thought that's what the verse was saying, but actually when you look at it carefully, it's really one thought. And so the thought is, Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And how? How do we do that? He explains how. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. What he's saying is, don't think that other people are better than yourself. That's just still comparing. That's not that helpful. What Paul is saying is, consider other people's needs better than your own needs. Or think about other people's need more significant than your own needs. What Paul is saying is, let others' needs surpass your own needs. In that way, you are placing other people ahead of you. Not that they are better than you, but their needs come before your need. That's what Paul is saying. And that's why in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, if you're tired, if you're weary, come to me. And then what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, because I'm strong and I could help you. Well, he doesn't say that. He says, because my heart is gentle and humble. Why does Jesus say that? Well, because Jesus is saying, in humility, I am going to always place your life before my life. That's what Jesus is saying. It's the heart of humility that we begin to place other people's needs before our own. And David says, I've done that. I don't look down at other people. I don't compare myself with others. And thus, I can find sense of contentment. And if we don't get this, our hearts will always be discontent. Third thing that he says is, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. What is that? He's talking about ambition. David is saying, I do not occupy myself with things that are too great or too marvelous for me. What is this? there's this verse in Acts chapter 13 that talks about David, and I you know, to me this really resonates, and I think really helpful. The Bible calls David, talking about David, David served the purpose of God in his generation. David served the purpose of God in his generation. David was not about trying to become the greatest or the best or to accumulate the most. That's not what David was about. David knew the call of God upon his life, and thus he lived for God's glory, God's purpose. Now, that meant that David was going to be the king. But it was not because he chased after this kingship. And when you read David's life, that doesn't come across at all. He's actually a little shepherd boy who is being faithful, taking care of his father's flock. And God comes and God says, I want you to be my next king. And then for 10 years, he's a fugitive. He's running away for his life from Saul because Saul is envious and Saul wants to kill David. And there are two occasions where David and his men, they have the opportunity to destroy Saul and allow and have David become the new king. But both times, David says, how can I touch the anointed king from the Lord, of the Lord? And David doesn't do that. So he's a fugitive for 10 years. He's waiting for God's timing. He's not going after things that are too great or too marvelous for him. He recognizes God's calling upon his life and is willing to live for that purpose. Now, friends, I think in this culture, in this region, this is really important because it's so easy to, when we see all that's happening, what all the people are perhaps accomplishing, we want to accomplish something great. Now, that in itself is not wrong, but if it rises out of selfish ambition, you know what's going to happen? Is you will always be restless. You'll always be discontent. When we recognize God's call upon your life and you are able to surrender and submit your life to that call, that purpose, and that's what you're doing, there is an incredible amount of freedom. There's joy. You'll sense joy and freedom to live for God with reckless abandon because you're no longer trying to achieve or get or accumulate something for yourself. You've released that, and you're not, like David here says, you're not occupied with something that's too great or too marvelous. There's a sense of accurate self-assessment, and you've humbled yourself before God, and you're living passionately for God, for His calling, for His purpose. David served the purpose of God in his generation. I think what that means is God has a purpose for you in your generation, today, now. And how we get that is Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Once you begin to make Jesus Christ your ambition and you pursue Him with all of your might, your particular calling and particular purpose will become revealed to you. God will reveal that to you as you pursue Christ. That's what happens. Not trying to create your own purpose and dream and vision. No, it's as you pursue Christ with all of your might, you're surrendering it to Him. As you do that, God will allow you to see His calling for your life. There is a call, a purpose for you in this generation. He wants to use you for Him, for His glory. David here says, I've surrendered that. I've let that go. So he pride, so comparison, judgment, envy, and then ambition. He says, I do not have these things. I've let them go. And then in verse 3, he says, now you need to do this, right? And he says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And so he's calling people to go to the Lord. And ultimately, that's how we're going to find contentment. Saint Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee. And what he's saying is, all the restlessness that we sense, emptiness, hunger, craving of our soul, is really pointing to the one who can truly satisfy you because He's the one who made you and He's the one who redeemed you. He will fill you and does give you a sense of contentment.
The picture that David gave us, it says, I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. And I think the key phrase there, I think, is a weaned child with its mother. In other words, David is saying he finds contentment, like a child who is weaned. It's not just off, like on his own or on her own. But the child is with his or her mother. And that's the picture I think David is trying to get us. We find sense of contentment, rest, freedom in where God has placed us when we are with God, when we can rest in Him, when we can recognize how God's made us and what God has called us to. That's when we begin to find rest. So, especially as we enter into this Thanksgiving season and then ultimately Christmas season, I don't know about you, but it's awfully hard to be thankful when your heart is discontent. But when we can go to the Lord and really surrender and trust and hope in Him, and we encounter Him and we're with Him, we'll begin to sense rest and freedom, because we'll begin to recognize that we don't have to be preoccupied with ourselves or occupied with these great things, because the God of the universe, He's been preoccupied with you from the very beginning. When you go to Him, you begin to recognize that God of the universe, the Heavenly Father, has been preoccupied with you from the very beginning. Before you were born, He knew you, He formed you, and He's preoccupied with you. He wants to bless you. And when we can get there, there can be a sense of freedom and rest and joy and peace and contentment. And when we can get there, get to that place, then we can begin to be thankful. And we'll begin to realize that all of us here, if you are in Christ, we already have so much more than we ever would need or want. God has given us so much more already in Christ. Right? That's what Ephesians chapter 1 said, right? We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's who we are. That's what we have. And when we get there, there's a sense of contentment, and we can begin to give thanks to God. So, friends, as we enter into Thanksgiving season, let's run to Him, okay, and find, recognize who He is and how much He loves you, and in that find rest and peace and contentment and thanksgiving. So let's pray, and I want to give us just a few minutes to kind of reflect and apply what we talked about. Maybe in prayer, let's just go to our God. If you are like me, boy, my heart rarely is content. My heart is rarely not occupied with myself. I'm rarely not comparing my situation with someone else's, and I'm rarely not occupied with great things, wanting to do more or be more. What God calls us as His people is run to Him, and He wants us to be like this weaned child with His mother. What we think we desperately need and what's indispensable for life, the psalm is reminding us, David is saying, it really doesn't give you life. Who gives you life is the Lord. And you need to go to Him to find life, find peace, find contentment. And our Heavenly Father, like always, has His arms open waiting for you. In Isaiah 49, He says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Let's go to Him and just, say a prayer for a minute, and then I'll pray for us. Confess that our hearts are restless too often. We find ourselves comparing our situation with someone else's. If we
find ourselves being occupied with things that are great, wanting to perhaps be or do something that's great for ourselves. Lord, these things have left us empty and tired and worn, and we're worn out, some of us. Lord, today we want to come to you, our Father in heaven. You remind us what we think is indispensable for life is not really that important. You, O God, gives us life. So we come to you, Lord. I pray through your Spirit, through your Word, through our time together, that you might renew, refresh us today. Help us to rest. Help us to be content. And out of contentment, help us to be thankful. Thankful for all that you have given to us. Thankful for who we are in you. We have already been blessed in Christ. Help us to celebrate that and know that. Pray for these friends who are here. Lord, draw them to yourself even as we sing these closing songs. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.